one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3 is board member items for discussion. Dave, do you have anything?
I have nothing.
Bill?
Yeah. I had an opportunity this week to talk with Robert Gordon, who lives over on Casita Street. And he has a flooding problem over there. And Robert has some pictures he's going to be handing out later on this evening. I don't know if anyone's familiar with his street over there, but after looking at it and talking with a neighbor of his, Don Weaver, back in about 1991, Caltrans had came in and raised Highway 1 about 3 feet. And then at that time, apparently, they had also put some curb, gutter, sidewalks through Oceano, which is probably about the time frame that I remember those coming in down Highway 1. Trying, you know, not putting blame on any one agency, but it looks like Caltrans and the county both have issues over there. And as we look at flooding issues here in Oceano in the future, this is something that, you know, puts some liability, I reckon, possibly, and that could be corrected from not properly being handled in the beginning. And just I wanted to bring that up tonight, you know, maybe look into finding out what elevations were over there when they Caltrans put this in. Maybe I'll go to the San Luis Obispo myself and talk to the county up there if that's what's needed. That's it.
All right.
Nothing at this time.
Yeah, I have nothing at this time either. Brings us to item 4, public comment. Any member of the public may address the board on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the board. Recognize that the board cannot act on anything that isn't on our agenda tonight. We have quite a full house, so I'd ask you to please be mindful of timeliness of your discussion. Anyone, please come up to the podium. When you come up to the podium, you might want to kind of form a ready line, if you would. And please state your name for the record and where you live.
Yeah, my name's Dale Clegg. I live at 1740 Peacock Place, just off of Christmas Tree. I go up Casitas. This fellow over here, look out, he mentioned it. This last year, I think, I don't know whether it was the county or whoever it was in there digging that ditch out for 3 days, messing around. I could have done it myself in that time. But still, it goes down to the north along the guy's fence that sells wood, whatever his name is, and it floods that area right in there. I mean, you really have to, it's dangerous. And then there's a dip in it, too. I think you came up to my house to get a vote one time. So you went across it. Well, you ought to go across it again. It's dry now, but it's draining into somebody's yard. I don't know. So that's one thing that bugs me. Another thing is I'm up here to bitch. I mean, I'm pissed. Okay? Money spent for the feasibility on this, what is this, right out here, this drain that's sopping wet all the time on Highway 1. Whose highway is that? Isn't it the state highway?
Yes.
Can't we get them to do something about it? They've been in there 3 times this year.
I could have done
it with a shovel. You know, put a drain in the damn thing, you know. Where's the money go for feasibility studies? The county gets it, state gets it. We ain't getting it. Our little town ain't getting it. We can't even clean the town up with what we got here. We got cars stashed all over on all the streets. We got trash, no sidewalks, little kids running out in the street, bicycles. I see houses that if people would just go and paint it, it would look better, you know. That's number four. Animals. Have we got an ordinance in this in Oceana for how many animals somebody can have. I have a neighbor that moved in. They got 4 dogs, 4 pigs, 2 cats, and the stink is bad. The flies are terrible, and the dogs bark all the time. And I'd like to see some type of ordinance come up that limits people, unless you want to put a kennel license in or get a kennel license or something. But
G is no 4-footed animals other than dogs, cats, rabbits, or similar livestock shall be kept or harbored on any lot or parcel except that horses, sheep, or cattle, but not including swine and goats, may be kept on lots or parcels having an area at least 20,000 square feet. So I hope that helps. It's from 1963. I don't know if anything's been passed since then, but I had a bunch of old paperwork.
We'll have a presentation in a little bit from Commander Basti, the Sheriff's Department, and animal control issues are basically not under the purview of this board, but I can refer you to the Sheriff's Animal Control.
Okay, anyway, on to the issue. For me, I have a serious drainage issue that the county has been working on. Cliff Howell and the other gentleman, Raleigh Green, have been over to my home several times. I drove around today and looked around the different developments in my area and noticed that each one of the other developments, subdevelopments, I should say, have a retention pond, a block or retention pond. On Cienega and Henderson, there's a rather large retention pond there as well. It seems like the only area from 22nd Street to Paseo Nuevo that doesn't have any type of proper drainage is my street. The county was in there about 6 months ago and spent a bunch of money on cleaning the ditch out, putting up a single retention wall on the on the south side of the drainage ditch, but left the east side, the north side, unprotected from any type of runoff or any collapse of the wall of the dirt there. So, as you can see from the photos, it's full of mattresses and boxes and all kinds of other good stuff. And if you look at the other pictures, it basically just backs up right in front of my house. It costs me a couple $100 a year to keep up the maintenance of the landscape and stuff, which I know is not your guys' problem. But had I known that the issue was going to be this great, I would not have probably purchased the property.
The drainage issues is another thing that's not within the purview of the Community Services District. Drainage and flood control items throughout this area of the county is the county's responsibility. However, I have to say, I share your pain.
I have called OCSD, and they tell me I called the Sheriff's Department to ask them to block the street off during the last heavy rain. They told me to call OCSD, so I called OCSD. They said, I'm sorry, call the county. I called the county, and they said, well, there's nothing we can do at this time. Call Caltrans. I've taken the roundy round too many times to tell you guys. I mean, I was up 11 o'clock at night out there with my flashlight waving traffic off so they wouldn't come through. You know, it gets to be a giant hindrance on me. You know, when my wife comes home, she can't even pull in the driveway without saying, oh, shit, I hope the car doesn't die. Pardon my French.
I'll have to limit the discussion just because this is not something under the purview of the board. However, Phil has indicated that he might go to the board supervisors, and we can certainly talk to you after the meeting and try to advocate at the budget process at the Board of Supervisors for more drainage work by the county in this area.
Okay, thank you.
My name is Nina Grabio, Oceano. And just for the record, I'd like to make sure that whenever I say my name is Nina Grabiel, that's the way it's put in the minutes.
Let me apologize to you for that on behalf of the board. The staff apparently has been under a misimpression there, and I'd like to see your name spelled correctly on the minutes. It's N-I-N-A, is that correct?
Yes.
Let me immediately order that anytime that your name appears, that that is how we properly spell it.
I appreciate that.
For the mistake.
Okay. I forgot to bring it with me, but I received a draft of the goals that were set up at the goal meeting, the special goal setting meeting, and I was asked to help in the translation of that. And I noticed there are some errors on there, and so I remember that Mark was recording that meeting, and I was just wondering who has of that recording, because before I go through the process of translating, I don't want to make sure that what is on there, that what I translate is actually correct. So I'm like, I don't want to give out misinformation to the Spanish-speaking public. So I'd like to just check that draft with what's on the tape, so I can make sure I have it straight and it's correct. Is there any way, who would have that? Who has that tape?
Yes.
Okay.
But so, the draft was based on a quick clerical effort there. They were trying to read my handwriting, which didn't always come across very well.
Right.
So that, you know, I'm not sure how that would translate.
Well, that's why I wanted to get the tape.
Okay. I will check and make sure that the draft is correct and give you a copy of the correct draft so that that draft can be translated properly.
Okay. Okay. Then my second item here is that after the meeting, after that goal-setting meeting on Monday, I went to the front office and I asked Gina for a copy of the packet for this meeting. And what she gave me was this, which is just a pile of the agendas clipped together. Now, the packet, the packet that goes out, the agenda and the minutes are in gray paper. This is just all white paper. And that's the way it has been in the past, is that the agenda and the minutes are on a different colored paper than the actual agendas that are going to be handed out at this meeting. And so I just want to say that, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm going to have to say it. And that is that, you know, every time, except once, when I've gone to the office to get information, I've been given incorrect information or no information, whether it's from Mr. Cooney or Ms. Davis. So it's a pretty sad record. I believe that's their process. It's their procedure to have the packets with a separate colored cover page, so they, you know, they know. So I don't know if this is just incompetence or if it's just you know, them trying to thwart my receiving the information, you know, that I request, or what's up. But it's $400,000 that we're spending on these people in salaries. I should be able to get the correct information when I request it.
Just by the, as far as the material you were given being on white paper, the director's packet or the full packet is printed on white paper.
Okay.
So that I could see where a mistake would happen. I apologize for that.
Okay. Well, I hope you can understand that with my past experience in having consistently received wrong information, to me this is just another one in a long list of situations where I have received wrong information. It's getting frustrating. It's getting really old. And, you know, let's get it together.
Nina, if I might, if you could write your name and address for a request, if you want to be on the mailing list, you'll get the full packet.
You know, I don't want to get the full packet every meeting. I don't want to have my house full of paper, and I don't want to have to, you know, chop down more trees. I just wanted it for this meeting, and particular meetings that I want to have a record of, I should be able to request that information and get it. I don't want to have to, you know, burn down the National Forest for it.
I understand. Thank you. Any further public comment? Hearing none, I'll entertain the review of the minutes, item 5A, minutes of December 22nd meeting.
Mr. President, I have one amendment to the minutes. Page 6, item 9, The board agreed to have a sunset clause in the ordinance that we will be hearing later on today.
So noted. I wanted to make a comment, not necessarily a correction, but a comment on item 11, which is on page 7, where I requested a consideration of an executive session for real estate negotiations. That was not necessary, so there was no closed session needed there. That's the minutes are correct, but just to let everybody know that that wasn't required. Any other commentary on the minutes? Public comment on the minutes?
Okay, I'm Nina Grabio, Oceano. I'm going to speak for Claudette Noah. She was here at the last meeting and spoke. She spoke under public comment, which is on page 1. First of all, both her and my comprehension. Now, for myself, I'm glad that you have directed staff to refer to me by my name, Nina. But, you know, I have here just pages of material that I think should have been in there that is not in there. And particularly what's most disturbing is comments. He left out Adam Wagner's comment under item 6A. He's from Santa Maria. He came and expressed his opinion for Mr. Bookout to act as vice president on the board. That was left out. But there's numerous comments on here that were left out. And one of the most important ones that I think was left out that should have been in there is actually at the very end, item number, let's see here, number 9A, the discussion about the fire department capital facilities charge. There was lengthy discussion on that item, and none of that is mentioned in here. Also, it says here that public comment none being offered. Well, if you look at the tapes from AGP, both Mary Lucy and myself did give public comment, and one of my comments was in direct response to the one that is quoted here from indicated here by Director Dahl, saying that the ordinance should have a sunset, and I expressed an opinion that was different than that, and I think, you know, when I really think that these minutes need to be redone because they're not true, they're not totally accurate, and especially in ordinance where you're going to be charging people higher fees or assessing different fees and switching the fees all around. If this is supposed to be a documented written record of that discussion, I think it should be as accurate as possible, just for historical fact record. I mean, isn't that what minutes are all about? So why is it left out? Are we trying to hide something so that in the future people can't get this information written? I'm not asking you directly. I think these are the kinds of questions you should be asking whoever it is that wrote up these minutes.
There are various types of minutes that could be taken. I'm told, Councilman, correct me, that it would be sufficient to just record the title of the item and the vote that was taken. And the tapes of the meetings are available, which Secretary keeps. So that's I understand your concern that you believe that the minutes should reflect virtually everything that was said in the meeting. And I'm not certain that that's always necessary.
But would that be necessary if you're going to be discussing an item where you're going to be assessing a fee on the residents? I think the residents would like to have that. I would. But, you know, I guess that's, you know, if you want to call it that way, that's your prerogative, but I don't think it's really in the best interest of the public. I'm sorry to say that. Thank you.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the minutes as amended.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Commander Vasti.
Good evening, members of the board and staff and members of the public. Martin Basti, Sheriff's Department. First of all, congratulations on, this is our first meeting for 205, and congratulations, Mr. Hill and Mr. Buchout, on your election and appointment to the board. As you recall, each month we come here, the first meeting, and give you a synopsis of what's occurring in the neighborhood and also answer any questions and refer folks over. Let me start first. We had a couple issues during the recess from school where the school was broken into, is also severely graffitied. Fortunately, due to the astute deputies, they were out, caught them red-handed with the cans of paint, and five juveniles went to jail. Two are still in custody. They were also responsible for the vandalism of the school earlier in the week, so that's been resolved. We've been kept very busy the last 8 days. We're on record with a heavy rainfall. And according to the Weather Service and our OES for the county, this is the first or the highest record in 56 years. So we did experience a number of issues and problems. Three search and rescue call-outs and dive team call-outs run death here in the South County up in Lopez. But, again, we missed the brunt of it. They have to give them a certain amount of time. Then they have to put an administrative hearing. If it doesn't get cleaned up, they are afforded, under the law, administrative hearing, and then it's a nuisance abatement, and they can be removed.
So they clean it up twice a day. They have to go to the mill out to clean it up, which is generally but why just don't come around twice a day? Because they're all the time, you know.
Okay.
I think there should be, okay.
I'll tell you what, stop by the office and leave the address, et cetera, and I'll follow up with Dr. Anderson, our director, and make sure that...
Give you a truck away.
No, I'll get your cat released, though, I promise that. I'll give a get out of the kitty jail free card.
Let me throw it over my yard until you show up.
And in reference to the questions brought up earlier, road closures, we don't have the authority to close the roads if they're still passable. That's a decision that either Caltrans makes because of safety or the California Highway Patrol makes because of the safety. If there's a tree down or wires down, we'll respond along with the fire department to make that assessment for emergency, but that it's always turned over to the Highway Patrol. For criminal acts, if we have a shooting or a fatal accident or something that we are involved in, then we can certainly close the road for temporary. But on a road closure for flooding or for other issues, that's strictly up to the Highway Patrol. We can certainly assist them, or it can go through our dispatch and refer to the dispatch CHP, but it's up to them to make the determination. They're responsible for the traffic flow and keep things going, so that's what they make the determination. Even though the roads are passable, you still have to consider, you have to get emergency vehicles here and there, and you see the problems created when 101 was closed with the repairs and services and a lot of the services we're getting out of Southern California, and then you close 166 on a grapevine, and we're pretty much, you know, some issues that come up we have to self-sustain. So, but anytime, you can call the office, and if you, if I'm not in there, we have an answer machine to get a hold of me. We'll get you referred to the proper folks, especially during those storms. But keep in mind, that's our busiest activity, as well as the fire department, the Highway Patrol, and everybody else, because of the issues that are coming up, the number of calls for service. So, is there any questions, issues you'd like addressed, or...
First, I'd just like to thank you very much for keeping us safe, and I know it's difficult out there in the inclement weather. As you mentioned, it's the most rainfall and concentrated in 56 years. That's a strain on everybody's resources, from the Sheriff's Department, the Fire Department, the Highway Patrol, everybody. I appreciate the job that you're doing out there. And just to make that clarification, again, there's some misunderstandings in people's minds that the Highway Patrol has responsibility for traffic flow here, even on the residential streets, not the Sheriff's Department. The Sheriff's Department, as the commander said, is responsible for criminal-type activities unless it's an immediate safety concern, as you said.
But certainly want the public also to know, as they call our dispatch, they can be referred to the proper agency or call our office, and that's one thing that we can do is facilitate, because we have 8 different divisions, and then you look at the county public services that does the roads and everything else. They have a tree crew. They probably have 30 different divisions. So you just have to, we'll certainly facilitate those things, and please call so that we can get appropriate crews out where they need to be and resolve those issues. So be a facilitator if we can.
Thank you again, Vice President.
Commander, will these juveniles who did the graffiti art, will they have to clean it up?
No, we cannot, under the law, we cannot require them to clean it up. So we will, the private property has to clean up their own. We're working right now with minors. They've offered their leftover mismatched paint. So we will get a program to make sure that the public areas, we can get those cleaned up with the free paint. We can also provide free paint, but on private property, we as a public agency cannot go on private property. So if somebody's, say, garage door that's on their private property, they're going to have to clean it up. But if it's a brick wall that's in the alley that's a public easement, we can do it.
Okay. Thank you.
How about insurance?
Well, see, that's the initial problem, and I'm not speaking out of turn, but that was the problem, is there's no parental supervision. So if you don't have parental supervision, that's when they're out there doing the criminal acts. So it really does no good to go back. Yes, they can be charged, and they can be fined, but that has to go through court.
Excuse me, Mr. Brown. Now, each time that I've had that type of problem with street flooding, I have called your department and I've been referred, but I have never seen any response. So that's just the issue with him. I mean, there is no response, not by the county, not by the CHP, anybody.
Well, again, the agency responsible, either the Highway Patrol or the county roads, is going to make a determination whether or not they're going to close the road or have the resource to close it. And if it is passable and it's just a slash issue, then they're not going to close it because you still need access.
Also recall that if you've got an extreme downpour, which is when the things are going to be most likely flooded, the Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Department are probably responding to accident conditions and matters of life and limb. So it gets... These guys can really be...
That's absolutely paint. Correct. But now as it's drying out, now is the time...
...put from the public, the staff, and the directors. We do have a rough draft at this point. I have to apologize for not having been able to review and comment and present, give the staff the corrected draft. But that has occurred. There'll be another meeting to discuss the goals, which I think we'll have a agenda item on that very shortly. We had a flood workshop similar. Again, the district doesn't have jurisdiction for flood control here, but we wanted to get the various individuals together discussing Highway 1 and 13th and Paso Robles Street, see what the jurisdictions were and what the various overlapping jurisdictions could bring to the table to try to deal with that problem a little bit. I had an action to contact Cacho and discuss with him the idea of having the state take over the maintenance area for Arroyo Grande Creek, which might again cause local residents to have tax bills go up very dramatically for flood control in the area. That is still in flux. The state is kind of moving to take that over at the direction of the county. Cacho expressed to me that he considered the state to have the overwhelming expertise in the area as far as Department of Water Resources. They are professional flood control guys, whereas the county, this is the only flood control district in the entire county, so a flood project in the county. So the county isn't staffed to handle it the way the Department of Water Resources is. And also he reiterated the county's budget problem in that they have insufficient funds as a result of litigation and still relating from the levee break a couple of years ago, and that the county would have to do a Proposition 218 election to raise appropriate funds to continue on in the manner of
Department of Water Resources may be able to do. So he has his reasons for that, but he still would entertain public input as far as how we might want to proceed. And our board here is going to be attending the Zone 1-1A meeting, so we'll be following that issue. That's all I have, Vice President Mann.
On Saturday, the local chapter of the California Special Districts Association held a workshop for new and old directors in Templeton. We spent the day, for those of us that were old directors, being reminded of what our duties and responsibilities are, and trying to educate the new directors on our chores and the things that we're allowed to do and the things that we're not allowed to do, and how to conduct ourselves in an appropriate manner. It was a good day, other than the rain getting there and the rain coming home. It was very worthwhile. And I don't have anything else other than that.
Thank you. Director Angel?
The fire committee met with a developer up off the 20th Street that had an issue with putting a couple units up there and not having the adequate turnaround for a fire truck, which he had his engineer bring us a plan that the fire chief was agreeable to. And that's been going on for several months now, and it seems like we've finally come up with a solution. He's going to give an easement from his neighbor to allow the engine to back up into their driveway, and it'll be a dedicated easement, and then so that way we'll have a hammerhead turnaround. Another bit of information we got is for the last year, the total number of calls averaged about 2 a day, and they really leveled out when we got out of our agreement on that 12-on, 12-off with Grover. So we only had 10 days in this year, and we were at 20 calls, so we're averaging about 2 calls a day. And then we got some good news on a county grant. We're going to get a Jaws of Life on a grant that we got from the county. What was the name of that?
It's Office of Traffic Safety.
Office of Traffic Safety.
Sorry.
Office of Traffic Safety is who we got the grant from. And what was the name of that? The Jaws?
Their brand name is Power
Hog. Apparently, there's several people in the county going to get the same style Jaws. And I think that's about it.
Was that the turnaround you talked about? Was that the one that came off an alleyway that's been kind of a?
No, it's where 20th Street dead ends, which would be in the back of Paso Robles Street.
Okay. Thank you. Bill?
Yeah. Got to attend the special learning session this last Saturday, and very educational what we can do, and it was good to have four of us up there all learning. Two of us learned a lot that are new. Templeton is a really unique town, and got to drive around Templeton and see a lot of their improvements that they've made up there. Curb, gutter, sidewalk, and a lot of the community doesn't have curb, gutter, and sidewalk with a drainage system that works quite well. It kind of gave me a few ideas that, in areas that we should probably look at not having curb, gutter, and sidewalk in Oceano, and keep an open mind to that. With the Zone 1-1A and the recent rains that we've had, I've been on the beach quite a little bit and taken some pictures of several vehicles that have gotten caught up in our Arroyo Grande Creek. I think it should be the Oceano River right now. And there's a couple of pictures over here for the public to see later on. But having the flood system that we currently have ultimately has saved this town for a number of years, major flooding. And I think it's going to be very, very important in the future that we pay very close attention to that system of channeling that we run the water out into the ocean. That's it.
Okay.
Commissioner Byrne.
Thank you. I also attended the training up in Templeton. I've always been a very firm believer in that directors participate in training. These things, there's always mistakes that can be made that can cost the community money that we can do up here. And so I've always been a firm believer in getting trained as much and as extensively as possible. Also attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District board meeting. The number two digester, we have two digesters there. One is our main one, and then we have a secondary one. The main one has been pulled down for cleaning. It has been usually due to clean in every 10 years. They felt that it could go a little bit longer this time, and we took it out to about 13 years. It was opened up. The grime and the grit was removed out of it, and we ended up with a lot more sediment and debris in there than what was expected, so it's taken a little bit longer. During the time that this is opened up, it needs to be recoated on the inside, and there's going to be additional piping and plumbing work that will be done to make it more efficient. And then we also had a concern that the lid on the digester, this is a tank that's a closed off tank, and where the solids will break down and produce methane gas, and so it's a closed off tank system. The gas is collected and burned off in a flame. We're going to be eventually building a cogeneration plant using that methane, which will pay for about half of our electricity out there. But while this tank was down, we had some concerns that we noticed that there was some cracking across the top of the tank where the lid sits on top and down into the tank, and the cement structure was cracked around the bolts that hold the lid down. And we had permission to look into it with FEMA, knowing that we would get reimbursed if it had anything to do with earthquake damage. It was determined that there was no damage due to the earthquake on this item, that this was normal wear and tear and within the tank. So separate new flanges were designed to replace the old flanges, which will give a lot more stability to the lid on this digester. And while this digester was down, it causes our other digester, which is a smaller one, to have to carry the entire load. And that digester, while it was carrying the additional load, part of the tank has sediment that goes down to the bottom, and some of it has items that rise. And the top of this tank has several feet of rags in it. Basically, if you ever wonder what happened to that odd sock, where's the other sock? Well, we found the sock zone. Okay, there's about 2 or 3 feet of just cloth rag material that sits on the top of these digesters that somehow gets down the sewer and into the sewer plant. Well, that broke loose. And so we had problems circulating the material, so we had to install a chopper pump that in the line that circulates this. It will chop all this material up, and a centrifugal centrifuge type apparatus has been rented in order to help pull out a lot of this material before we go in and open this digester up. The first digester will have to be closed before we can open the second one up. And so that's all in the process. We're working on coating and repiping the larger digester, which should be done within about a month and a half from now, and then it'll be brought back into service, and we'll start on the next digester. The groundbreaking ceremony for the chlorine contact chamber, which I told you all about last meeting, is going to be happening on the 19th, I believe. January 19th, Wednesday, at 4 p.m. at the sanitation treatment plant. And we will we'll be putting in a chlorine contact chamber. First step in the process is to move the flare that I talked about that burns off the methane gas. That has to be moved to a different spot on the property because that is where the new contact chlorine contact chamber will be built, and this is going to increase the quality of the water that will be discharged into the ocean when it's done. During this entire process, we have, you know, just prior to cleaning these out, the Water Quality Control Board has given us stricter requirements as far as what the requirements for the water discharge are. And even with those stricter requirements, our team there at that plant is very, very effective, does an excellent job, and we were all able to stay within the parameters of the discharge. And it's whenever you go outside those parameters is when we get fined. And that plant has not been fined since the 1960s, I believe, as opposed to where you hear a lot of the other plants around getting fined quite often. And those are all will reflect directly into the water rates and sewer rates that that are charged to the people. So we are very fortunate to have a very, very well-manned, well-trained, very capable, competent staff over there to run that plant. I think our sewer plant charge is, I believe, $6.25 a month for the Oceano, Aurora Grande, Grover Beach area. And you can compare that to, I believe, Santa Maria just had to raise theirs from $22 to $26 a month. So you can see the difference that that we're paying here compared to there. Mm-hmm. That concludes my report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay. Administrative items. I guess that's the next item. We're on item 8 on the agenda, 8A, appointment of district representatives. I've made appointments suggested for the members of the board to attend various, first of all, to be members of the Community Service District subcommittees, and as well to be representatives of committees of other organizations such as the Sanitation District and others. The two that I don't have anyone assigned to is Airport Land Use and the Water Resources Advisory Committee, which meets on Wednesday about the middle of the day, and most of us have work commitments that don't allow us to do that. So if anyone would be willing to go to those meetings, especially for the airport, if anything related to Oceano Airport, was we'll try to get those covered. As far as Paso Robles Airport, I don't know about that. But as those meetings where there's something on their agenda relates to Oceano Airport, we'll try to have someone there.
Isn't this the year that on the airport land use that the Oceano Airport comes up for review? Probably Vern could answer that question.
Yes, if I could bring the board up to date on this. The Airport Land Use Commission basically is responsible not for the airports themselves, but for land development around airports. And they determine how many dwellings, what land can be developed, what can't, what type of developments go in. Oceano is an older airport, and so we're a little unique here. We have problems that they have not had to deal with other airports. The three main airports that the Airport Land Use Commission deals with is the Paso Robles Airport, the San Luis Obispo Airport, and the Oceano Airport. They have gone through and done a airport land use plan for San Luis Obispo Airport now. Prior to that, they did the Paso Robles Airport. They saved Oceano for the last, figuring that to be the most difficult and most controversial. And it is now time where they are going to start working on that and dealing on that, and I expect that to be coming up sometime this year. And whether it's completed this year or not, I don't know, but it will be worked on. It definitely will be, the work will be started this year. I would be surprised to see it anything otherwise, and I would think even the start would even be toward the earlier part of the year. I think it's very important and critical that someone attends this this committee, especially at this time. This coming year, it's going to be, you're going to be hearing about this, and hearing April's going to be writing articles about it before the year's out. I do think that it is something that we need somebody on.
I would also think that this would tie somewhat in with a specific plan which dealt with the usage, and Oceano Halcyon Advisory Committee, they have dealt with that quite a bit. I would think that that would kind of tie well together.
Believe me, they've talked a lot about the Oceano specific plan at that meeting as well. And there's, you know, where Oceano Halcyon Advisory wants to go with the community and where they want to let the community go, they're not much on the same page. So it's going to take some major cooperation and some time to work on this thing. You know, you're going to see a lot of controversy come out over it. And I think it's going to be important that we keep ourselves up on what they're doing. This is not a committee that we assign somebody to sit on. We do not have somebody sitting on this on this board. We just attend it keep ourselves informed, and then keep the board informed via our attendee.
Well, if anyone is able to attend that due to the schedule, I would appreciate it. We will definitely keep following that issue.
I wouldn't mind attending a few of those meetings, but that would probably put me within the Brown Act, as my house faces the Oceano Airport, so I'll be out.
We can ask counsel, though. You're not.
Can I respond to that? Just in for clarity, and then counsel may be able to actually give a legal response. The Airport Land Use Commission does not deal exactly with the airport itself. It deals with the land around the airport, which in the case of the amount of land around the airport it deals with pretty much all of Oceano.
Oh, okay.
So there is, you're not talking, you know, the 100 feet around it. We're talking the entire flight path, downwind leg, crosswind, approach, takeoff, the areas surrounding it. So you're talking about something that's reaching out, I think, as far as almost Grand Avenue on one side, and the same amount the other side, all the way back into old Oceano, the entire Strand area. You're talking pretty much all of Oceano. I don't know if there's any area that is not within that zone.
Well, if it wouldn't be a conflict, I would attend probably a good portion of these meetings, as the airport does have interest to me.
You look at about approximately 10 meetings a year. So you're looking at about 10 meetings to attend.
I can hit 9 of them. You guys did notice that my next, my Parks and Recreation golf course, that would be really nice.
Okay, I'll enter Bill down as our primary rep on the airport land use. Again, we're not a actual member of the committee, as Director Dahl noted. Thank you, Bill.
President Bill, I'll be willing to take the alternate.
Thank you, Mitch.
President, Rich.
been asked for a 5-minute break. Requested perhaps I should just continue with this item, and I'll mention that at the end. The assignments, so that everyone knows what they are, for the district committees, the fire committee would be Director Angelo and Director Bookout. Parks and Rec committee would be Director Bookout, Director Dahl. Finance committee would be President Hill and Vice President Mann. Personnel would be Director Angelo and President Hill. Supervisor liaison is Supervisor Hill, and a rotational assignment.
Excuse me, Director Hill, not Supervisor Hill.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. No Freudian slip intended, let me assure you.
Speak up.
The Water and Sewer Committee would be Director Angelo, Director Dahl. Community Enhancement, which includes garbage, street lighting, and alleys issues, would be Director Dahl and Vice President Mann. And I proposed a new committee, which I tentatively called Service Quality, but it would be looking at district policies and procedures with an idea to upgrade them. Many of our policies and procedures haven't been upgraded in a long time. That would be Director Bookout and President Hill. The outside committees would be airport land use. Again, we're attendees, not members there. Would be Director Bookout with General Manager Cooney as the alternate. California Special Districts, Vice President Mann. The Oceana Halcyon Advisory Committee would be Director Bookout with President Hill as an alternate. South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District would be Vice President Mann with Director Dahl as an alternate. Zone 3 flood area would be Director Angelo with Director Dahl as alternate. Zone 3 technical, Phil attends that for us as our district technical representative. Water Resources Advisory, General Manager Cooney has been our alternate to that, and we may ask you to follow the agenda there and see if we can attend those that might affect us. Also, we're going to begin regularly attending Zone 1-1A. I've assigned myself as the primary representative to that, with Director Bookout as the alternate. So that is the proposed assignments, and if everybody's had a chance to look at it. It's been,
I have a question on the two new committees that we're establishing. Do we have to vote to establish those, or can we?
No.
We can just say we're going to have that.
There is a total concurrence of this board to the president's appointment. If he creates a committee and the board concurs with the committee appointments, then it is established committee.
Okay.
So I guess I'll...
I'm going to go with... I'd like to go with Bill for the first meeting with the Airport Finance Commission and introduce him.
Sorry,
I'd like to go with Director Bookout to the first Airport Land Use Commission meeting, introduce him to the people there, and set through that and kind of... fill him in on the past of what's gone and who the players are in it. And also I'd like to let the public know that these committees are regularly posted committees. They are open to the public. And the committees that we attend outside of the OCSD, which are the ones in the lower half of our page. I don't know if you have that or not, if you've got that part of the agenda. Those are meetings that are of other districts and councils,
that we either have a seat on or sit in the audience on. Those are all also public meetings and can be attended by anyone from the public. That's all I have to say.
Thank you very much. I guess we can.
Do you need a motion for this?
Yeah, it's a voice vote.
Okay, I'll make a motion on the acceptance of committees as presented by President Hill.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, thank you. Next item is consideration of board member compensation. I'll introduce this item. It's consideration of rescinding a current resolution that we have adding health and welfare benefits to establish compensation for board members. And in my canvas of the community that during the election, one of the issues that resounded throughout the community was the idea of rescinding health and welfare benefits to the members of this board. The members of the board currently may get reimbursement for certain insurance expenses. And it was my feeling that many people in this community, perhaps most people in this community, don't have paid health benefits, and I didn't believe that it was fair that the residents of the district be asked to cover that burden. So we have before us this evening an item to rescind the health and welfare benefits for board members. And is there further discussion from the board on that?
Well, I'll give you a little history of what happened with it. Is that what the originally what the board had looked at and thought when it was passed was that the directors that have run for office in the past have always, you know, there's been a certain anger element, and there's been a number of times that the board has had to appoint people, and it was looked at as a tool to try to get more people to be interested in running for office.
I make a couple comments here. When the first insurance came up several years ago, we did not have health insurance, and we had the opportunity to purchase the insurance ourselves. And I was very much interested in that. We had a board member at that time who felt that if we opened the door, that eventually then health insurance would be paid for by the community for the directors. At that point, I said I would never vote to do that, nor would I take it. So when it came up the last time to provide health insurance paid for by the district, I voted no. However, the board did make a decision, and I tend to kind of live by the rules that the board has made, even though I do not myself avail, I don't avail myself of the money for my health insurance. But I understand why the board chose to do this, thinking that perhaps this would be one more good thing for people who are willing to serve on the board.
Thank you. Any further board discussion? Comments from the public?
My name is Mary Lindsay. I'm a happy resident of Oceano. I just wanted to know, would there be an other option? I understand, you know, the cost effectiveness, and but would the board members be allowed to buy into the district's plan at their own expense? Would that be something that you would take into consideration, because it is very hard to get health insurance, and considering if you've ever had a cough or something and your insurance is skyrocketed, but if you can buy into a plan just for the access, that too is, you know, beneficial. So I wanted to know if you are considering that as an alternative.
Could I ask general manager's opinion on that?
I believe that that's not available. If you're not employees, you have to be an employee to purchase into the system.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Further public comment?
Joe Shacker, Oceano. I just wonder if it's an either-or situation. Could you maybe come to an agreement where you put a cap on it? That's where most companies, private and public, have the problem, because the premiums have gone sky high. Maybe the public would agree to, if you saw a cap on what it is. Just a thought.
There is a cap.
Oops.
Sorry.
The cap is the same as the district employee's cap.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm totally against any kind of benefits as far as health insurance.
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Patsy Darnielle from Oceano. I happen to be the director who was against it the first time. And we are the only OCSD district, OCD district in the whole county. And even one or two of the cities do not have it. So I don't think it's something we even want to consider. The people who want to be on the board are usually work full time. I'm not saying they have insurance, but they don't devote the time that certain other areas do, and so I would be totally against it. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comment from the public?
Nina Grabiel, Oceano. I agree with the last person who was up here. I'm self-employed, and my husband's self-employed, and we can't afford health insurance, and I'm really getting tired of paying for health insurance and benefits for, you know, every other governmental person, and I can't even afford it for myself. And I don't qualify for, you know, low-income plans or anything like that. So until this society makes it more equitable for everybody, then I'd rather not spend the money, you know, to give someone else something that I can't afford myself. I'm sorry, but that's just how it is.
Thank you. Further comment from the public? Hearing none, I'll bring it back to the board. And I will therefore move that the board adopt a resolution rescinding OCSD Resolution 2003-16, which is a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District establishing health and welfare benefits for board members. Hearing no second, the motion dies. Moving on to item 8C, resolution 2004-32. Excuse me, I'm item 8C, this is a continuation of discussion of our resolution proposed 2004-32. I'd like to introduce a supporting motion. If I might.
President Hill, this item, it has to do with the community center, and I live within 500 feet of the community center, and so it is considered whenever there is some kind of a deal that the board is involved in that is within 500 feet of anything that you have a material interest in, that it can affect that material interest, and therefore I'm considered to have a conflict of interest in this just because I live within that distance. So at this point, I have to recuse myself from this board until this issue is over with. Thank you.
Thank you, Vern. Okay, continuing, I'd like to propose that we adopt a motion instructing our staff to negotiate an agreement with the Oceana Community Center Incorporated regarding management of the ongoing construction project. General Manager Cooney, do you have a comment or point of view related to that?
Yes,
I think getting comment from the manager is certainly appropriate, but just so we don't forget, you might want to ask for a second before we get to that, because it's easy to forget getting a second later and it's not at all that's something else.
Let me then
read it again.
Let me then phrase this as a motion. I'd like to move that the board adopts a motion. I move that we instruct staff to negotiate an agreement with Oceana Community Center Incorporated regarding management of the ongoing construction project as we go forward with the project.
I'll second that.
Okay, so for discussion, Mitch, could you?
Yeah, I really think that President Hill has done a very good job in bringing up some points of clarification of the ever-evolving relationship between the district, OCSD, and the community center. And a lot of the involvement can be easily dealt with by the entering into of a contractual agreement concerning the construction of the construction management of the community center itself. And I think that's a very wise idea.
Could you explain exactly what you want the manager to do?
We can't hear anything. I'm in front row. I can't hear anything. Sounds like
we apologize. Sometimes we tend to look at each other, and the mics are not ahead of us. So
I just asked you to explain to me a little more detail what we're doing.
Alex, do you have a...
Sure. Perhaps I could do it. This evolved out of a long discussion I had with President Hill earlier today. In preparing for the discussion on Resolution 2004-32 that you have before you tonight, we went back and did some research regarding the construction of the community center project. And you'll all recall that this started out as a project where the OCCI group was going to gather up all their money, get their construction documents all lined up, and once they had all of that in place, then they were going to exercise the option, have then an interest in the land through the lease, construct the building in connection with that interest in the land that they had through the lease, and go forward. Well, as it turned out, the project evolved in a different way because they got their money kind of piecemeal, and they reached a point where they needed to start construction even though they did not have 100% of the money necessary to complete the project. And the district, after due consideration, allowed them to do that. Well, as a result of that, there's a little bit of a disconnect between who's ultimately responsible for some of these grants and who's ultimately responsible for the construction of the building. So it seems to us, to staff, that it's appropriate at this time to sit down with OCCI and try to negotiate an agreement that more clearly delineates who has which responsibilities as we go from where we are today with a partially constructed building to a fully constructed building. Mrs. Brackett is here today. She's the president of the OCCI. I don't want to speak for her, but I believe, I spoke with her earlier today, and I believe she's in agreement that that would be a good idea.
Any further discussion from the board? Questions on what we're proposing? Comment from the public? Ruth?
Thank you, President Hill. Yes, Alex explained to me that to solve the...
excuse me, I apologize. Could I have you state your name and place the residence for the record? I'm sorry.
Ruth Braggett, president of OCCI.
Thank you.
I'm a resident of Nipomo. Mr. Seamus spoke to me today after I called him because I wanted to know kind of how this meeting was going to go. Are we going to have to answer all the questions all over again or whatever? And so I'm very delighted to see that there is a proposal to make all of this work better, for us to sit down and work out the details of how this is going to go forward from here. And to back up, this project did take an accelerated turn when we got involved with Coast National Bank.
Excuse me, could I ask that we only have one meeting here, and if there's side conversations, to please take them outside. It's hard for us to hear as well. Excuse me, thank you.
When we got the loan from Coast National Bank, it totally changed the way we were proceeding with our plans to raise the money. We had a written plan to carry out raising private funds as well as continuing asking for grants and foundation money. And so with the proposal of the $2.4 million loan, what it meant was we could come back and complete the inside of the building this year. And that's a good thing for everyone. It accelerates the completion of this building. However, what it also triggered was moving into the 99-year lease, and that's different kind of requirements. And at the same time, we had a deadline, I think it was December 30th, for this grant from the state, and it has certain requirements. And with two of you being new, it complicated the whole picture. So if we can sit down and work out some of this, I think all of us on the board will greatly appreciate working with the district as proposed in the motion. We will be having a board meeting next Thursday, so this can be put on our agenda, and I'm sure all the board members will agree to move forward in this direction.
Thank you.
There are a lot of people here on behalf of the community center. We've got on the telephone, so I'd like to just have people raise their hands if they're in support of the community center. And there may be a couple of people who'd like to say something, too.
Okay.
And we also have Lindsay Wall here from Coast National Bank. Charlie Fruit is on a vacation, so he wasn't able to be here. If you have any specific questions about the loan.
Thank you.
Hi, Nina Oceano. I'm glad she mentioned that about the loan, because I have questions about this loan. The loan amount is $2,400,000, and I noticed that it's a variable interest rate with no ceiling or floor. Is that normal? I have never taken out a loan with no ceiling. Does anybody know if that's normal? Is that sound fiscal policy? Is that normal for this kind of enterprise to do that?
It's not a loan for the district. So I'm not sure that I'm competent or qualified.
Well, no, but I mean, but you're saying that you're going to make the payments. Who's going to make the payments on this loan? Who makes the payments for this loan? Can I ask that question?
Community center.
Pardon me?
The community center.
The community, OCCI makes the payments on the loan. Where do they get the money? Do we know?
Grants and fundraisers, foundations, that type of thing.
Okay, so I just want to make sure. So the people of Oceano are not going to be responsible for making these $13,000 a month payments with no cap on the interest?
Can I speak here? They've got several rentals incorporated into this building. I walked through it the other day. It's an amazing building. It's an amazing thing for Oceano. They're going to have functions there. I believe they're going to have many different functions, which will generate some money, having talked with Rick Searcy. So.
Okay, I just want to know, though, I mean, if they make the payment and how they get the money, I don't really care about. My concern is, are the people of Oceano in any way going to be obligated to make this payment if OCCI cannot? That's my concern.
Perhaps I could speak to that. Perhaps I could speak to that particular.
Yeah, Alex, please.
The loan is secured only by OCCI's interest in the lease on the building. The dirt, if you will, which belongs to OCSD, is not security for the loan. OCSD is not a signatory to the loan. OCSD has no responsibility for the loan.
Okay, so the people of Oceano are not going to pay for this.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm glad we have that down for the record. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Further comment?
Gordon Shore of Oceano. I urge the board to do everything they can to support the completion of the community center. It's a very important function for a substantial number of our people here, and I think it helps upgrade the whole atmosphere of Oceano, and I urge you to do whatever you can to help or approve their making the grant for more money. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comment?
I'm also here tonight to ask the board to continue your support of the community center. I think not all, certainly, but most of the community, I think the majority, is looking forward to the completion of the project. Many people have worked very hard to make the center a reality, and the completion is a wonderful opportunity for the citizens of Oceano, particularly the young people. We will not only have our recreational activities, but we will have a place to hold or sponsor events that can help unify and strengthen our community. The project itself, I think, has even begun to bring the community together, perhaps because it's a shared goal of some of us. And I also share the concerns about ongoing funding for completion and the continued operating expenses. But as I look at the total picture, I'm amazed at what already has been accomplished. And the community center has an outstanding group of people on their board members and their steering committee members, as well as, of course, Barbara Carey. And most of them are movers and shakers dedicated to accomplishing the goals that they set. So I think also important, however, is the many, many citizens here who have donated their untold hours of time and effort planning these fundraising events, and of course the people who help support those. I'm proud to be a part of Oceano, and I share the confidence of many that with all of us working together, the center will be completed and eventually paying its own way. In fact, we already have people asking to rent it, and it isn't even finished yet. So thank you for your support, and I hope you continue.
Thank you.
My name is Christina Casillas, and I have been a resident of Oceano my entire life. And I have waited all of my life for something like this, a community center for the children, and to get the people that have nowhere to go after school, and also the sense of community that it will bring, even the volunteer fundraisers that I've participated in have seemed to unite the community. if it wasn't for those functions, I don't think there would have been any other way to get to meet those around us. There isn't really much that really draws us together in this community, except for the community center. I really do believe that it would be a benefit to all. It has done nothing but raise property values in other cities, having a community center. I don't see any reason why people would not want one, because then the children or the teens or whatever it is they feel should not be in the street will be there, and they'll be safe. It would just be good all around. And, you know, people's fears should not be the reason why we don't have this community center. Give it a chance. I mean, address the issues as they come up after we get the community center. I mean, everything seems solvable if they would just let it be. And I really, really hope you support it. And I know you'll see that it's a good thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Antonio Maldonado, and I'm a resident of Luciano. I was listening to everything, and I've been here to this meeting since you were elected. All of you, I think you're good, not good job. Another thing, Officer Martin stated about the graffiti here and there in the schools. This is a reason why the kids do it, because they don't have no place whatsoever to entertain themselves or to be guided by anybody. We do need this center for our future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further comment? Bringing it back to the board?
No, Bill.
I'm sorry.
Mark Wampler, Oceano. A few minutes ago, a motion had died right here before us that President Hill had issued forth, and I am grieved that not one board member had seconded, by what the will of the people had voted in, a man who said, we want, by volunteering, to discontinue this benefit for the benefit of our district. I'm taking license here. I just want to say that I disagree with that, and that's my opinion.
Thank you. We'll have comment on other issues at the end, if we could keep this discussion on this topic at the time. Al.
Yeah, my name is Al Boffman. Oceana resident for a few years. Know all the board very well. And everybody sitting at this table except your legal counsel, Mr. Seamus. I'll be directing a question to you in a few moments. There's been about $2.8 million already spent on that community center, and all of us should do whatever we can to push this program along. Don't put any snags in the way of it. And I didn't get an update from Mrs. Brackett, but I think the thought is good to do that. However, a point of order, Mr. Seamus. I looked at the tape of the meeting, and I thought the resolution had a motion and seconded to approve that resolution and to instruct the president to sign. Does that sound right?
That's correct. This is a collateral issue.
Then why didn't the president sign?
Perhaps I could clarify that.
Please do, Alex.
At the last meeting, the resolution was approved subject to obtaining two items. And rightly or wrongly, in the president's judgment, one of those items didn't comply with the requirement. That's what we're here to talk about tonight.
Oh, when are you going to be talking about that requirement?
As soon as all the public comment is done.
Okay. I kind of felt from what you said also, that those were two basically minor things that you wanted, and they did respond. It might not be exact wording, but when the president is instructed to sign a document, I thought that would take precedence. So anyway, my request then still remains the same. Let's do everything we can on a positive basis because our kids need this facility, and it'll be a place for them for years and years to come. So anything you can do to push this along, and hopefully this won't disturb our grant that's been applied for. So let's don't string it out. Ruth might think she has enough time, but for some reason that money disappears.
Thank you. Further comment?
Mr. President, board members, Rick Searcy, O'Shannel. I agree with the board's action tonight to try to make a possibility of looking at the community center's construction management. That's no problem. Hopefully we can work together. But I would urge the board to go ahead and sign the document that's needed so that we can continue on with the process of the grant application. As you well know, in the community service district, working with various grants, whether it be the fire departments or whether it be block grants from the county on different projects, these grants are competitive. They're ones with where they eliminate people because one document wasn't signed, and they're looking for reasons to not because there's so many people in the state of California looking for these grants to complete their projects. They're looking at ways to eliminate down to who's ready and who's not. Community Center has done an excellent job in managing the first portion of this community center, $2.8 million. That is not an easy task. We've done it professionally. We've we continue to strive to do the best that we can. And this community center is going to, even though that the community itself will not be taxed, but it will enjoy the proceeds that the community center will bring. I mean, this idea of not only having this community center, it means bringing organized recreation to this community, which it has not. It means organized events, which it has not. Somewhat in your campaign statement, you'd like to see the Salary Festival back in and those kind of things. Well, this will be the center that can entertain those kind of functions for this community and bring it together. Some of the events that it's already done in the past, just small events, has one of the ladies that spoke earlier said it has brought the community together. And the community as a whole is looking forward to finishing this building. And it's going to be, the South County's diamond in the rough. Roy Grandy's Recreation, Grover's Recreation, the Men's League over in Roy Grandy, they're biting at the bit to get in there and play. And that means dollars for us because, we're not just going to open up a free-for-all. It's going to, it's organized. And that's what this is about, and bringing the community together. So I also urge you to do everything you can to support the community center. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick.
I'm Ruth Long from O'Shannel. I'm glad to see Rick Sears here tonight because it seems to me like it's been maybe 20 years ago that he began wanting this community center for the church, which was so badly needed in this town. And I think it's time for us all to pull together and get this thing finished.
Thank you. Further comment? Hearing none, I'll then bring it back to the board.
A point of clarification, please. Would we be voting on we would be voting to sign the resolution as one motion and then a second motion to enter into an agreement? Is that the way this is going to work?
You have a motion before you right now that would instruct staff to enter into an agreement with OCCI concerning construction management. And then what you would do is you would make a motion or make a finding, basically, upon motion that the documentation that was provided in support of signing the resolution is or is not sufficient.
Okay. So we deal with entering into the construction agreement, for lack of a better term, first.
Okay. Right.
We vote on that. Then the next step is to see if we agree with the findings, that they were sufficient. And at that point, then, we would vote to sign the resolution.
No.
Is that correct?
No, you've already voted to sign the resolution.
It's the finding.
The documentation was sufficient to support the signing of the resolution.
Okay, thank you.
No further discussion? Okay.
Call the question.
I call the question then. Can we have a roll call, please, Gina?
And just to be clear, it is a question on the motion about the contract.
Yeah.
And that would be instructing the staff to negotiate an agreement with OCCI regarding management of the construction project.
Now, we're not managing it. We're just going to see to it that it's managed. That's correct, right?
We release the money.
We're going to be overseeing that.
Yeah, just past the money.
Yeah.
Basically, along
our staff,
the same way we sort of oversaw the construction of the sheriff's station.
Okay.
We did have some oversight responsibilities, and that's what this will do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, roll call, please.
President Hill?
Yes.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
Director Antoine?
Yes.
Next item would be consideration of the sufficiency of the documentation that was presented in support of the grant application. And we received a signed statement from the OCCI board president, Mrs. Brackett, and from her managing director, Mrs. Carey, that they have read the material that they needed to read and that they do understand it, which hopefully we would find sufficient. We also have a letter from Coast National Bank that is, while it's not a unconditional loan commitment letter, it's a pre-qualification letter. Is that correct? And I verified that that's still in place. So I have a personal issue that I don't want to have anybody think that this is by any means a statement that I have any thing to say against the community center. I'd like to see this project go forward on the condition that we just approved, and I don't want to indicate any prejudice on this. I do support the concept. I think, for the most part, reasonable people would consider that there's sufficient data here to assure that all of the funding requirements are met. At the moment, in my job, I have to certify things to pretty much beyond a certainty. And I have a problem that I need to recuse myself from that. But having said that, I think that there's certainly a reasonable assumption that this material is sufficient. So I want to recuse myself from signature on that based on the idea that in my job I can't sign something unless I have a pretty much ironclad guarantee that this is relatively close.
So what are we looking for? To have the vice president sign it?
If the vice president could sign it or another board member?
I'll sign it. Well, we need a motion to move ahead, is that correct? No, to accept the findings?
Well, wait a minute. The board is already
We haven't accepted the findings yet.
No, I understand that, but there is already a motion that the resolution is adopted.
Yeah, the resolution was adopted subject to the sufficiency of the findings.
Right.
So the motion at this time, if someone chooses to make it, would be to make a finding of the board that the documentation presented is sufficient, and in the absence of the president signing it, directing the vice president to sign it.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been.
I'm sorry, who seconded it?
Director Angelo.
Call the question.
Call the question. Do we need a roll call?
Yeah.
Roll call, please.
Director Bookout?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Next item.
President Hill, Ruth Brackett again. On behalf of the Community Center and all the folks that have worked hard and supported us all these years, I want to thank you. I think this is a really good indication of how well this community has coalesced around this project. And so I want to thank you for your leadership and goodwill. And within this year, September, October, you'll be at a celebration of the completion of the community center. So.
Thank you very much. Gives us a stronger foundation to go forward in the future and make sure that this project can go on a firm footing. Next item on the agenda is reports of district department heads.
Excuse me, let's call Vern back.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm embarrassed. Thanks, Vern.
Thank you.
Sorry, I almost overlooked you for a minute.
Oh, well, we've got to grow a couple more inches, I guess. That's what's happening.
Okay, we're down to item 9A, report of the administrative assistant. Is there any
receive and file.
I don't have any questions. Does anyone have any questions for the report?
I don't.
Okay. Receive and file for the utility ops supervisor. Any questions?
Same.
Receive and file for the fire chief. Any questions?
Receive and file.
Receive and file. Thank you very much. Moving to item 10, fire items. 10A is Mitch. Would you like to introduce this item?
Yes. In 1999, the board adopted a resolution which states the fire chief shall be appointed upon the recommendation of the general manager for a two-year term to serve at the pleasure of the board. The appointment shall run for a term that coincides with the general election of the district board. The OCSD Fire Department is very fortunate and to have very capable leadership. During the period of transition from a volunteer department to a fire department providing 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-per-week coverage, the fire department has been under the direction of Chief Michael Steinhauser. During this time, the department has functioned in a very capable manner. Interdepartmental relations are being conducted in a professional manner, and members of the department support the reappointment of Chief Steinhauser. It is the general manager's recommendation that Michael Steinhauser be appointed as fire chief to serve at the pleasure of the board for the next two-year period. If the Board of Directors concurs with this recommendation, a memorandum of understanding between the district and Michael Steinhauser will be brought back to the Board of Directors at the meeting of January 26th for adoption. The recommended action before your board is by board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote. Appoint Michael Steinhauser as Fire Chief pursuant to Chapter AA Section 3.0 of the OCSD Policies and Procedures Manual, adopted pursuant to Resolution 1999-20.
Okay. Is there discussion from the board?
I'd just like to start out by saying I think Mike's done a very good job. He's certainly doing a job with limited resources, and I don't hear many complaints about the fire department at all. It's usually positive.
The commentary I've heard about the fire department, I think, has been uniformly positive.
I've heard nothing good about our fire department. I've heard nothing good about our fire chief. I have a question. With the special fire task force, will there be any findings coming back that might affect in any way this?
No, and as far as the appointment of fire chief, no, there is no.
Okay. In the news the other day, Pismo Beach, when they did the CDF, they only renewed their contract with CDF for 1 year. They were looking at possibly tying in with the Rio Grande and Grover Beach. Would that have any impact?
The extension of the CDF agreement was from July 1st, 2004 to June of 2005. So basically it's really kind of only a six-month extension, but there is an automatic one-year extension after that. And the city of Pismo Beach has to give CDF a one-year notice. So currently, the direction to the city manager of the city of Pismo Beach is to send a letter to the city of Rio Grande, the city of Grover Beach, and to the Oceanic Community Service District, inviting us to an initial meeting concerning possible joining of forces or consolidation or whatever, just basically initial discussions at that time. The first opportunity that the city of Pismo Beach would have to change their fire service would be July 1st, 2007. So this period of time would run.
It coincides. Yeah.
I mean, if there was a decision to consolidate things, whatever the case may be, as I said, the first time that city of Pismo Beach could get out of change from their contract with CDF would be July 1st, 2007.
Everything I've heard about our fire department is great, and I think a lot of it is due to the leadership of Chief Steinhauser, and I would hope that this whole board would agree to follow the general manager's recommendation that we hire him for an additional 2 years.
The department's been kind of in a point of transition. There's been a couple of difficult transitions that the department has successfully negotiated, where the agreement between Grover and Arroyo Grande taking over took out the agreement that we had with Grover Beach to provide 12 on and 12 off coverage. Our department stepped up to the plate, is now there 24/7. Looking after our community, and I think the guys in the fire department are doing a great job. And there's also some confusion anytime there's a change in the board of directors, as there has been very recently with this election. They have the fire task force, which is doing an admirable job so far of looking at various options that we have for going forward with the fire department. So there is some uncertainty and confusion probably in the minds of the fire department. Nonetheless, the guys have responded with esprit de corps, and they've done a great job as far as I'm concerned. So is there any other comment from the board?
Public comment?
Mary Lucy, I'm Oceano. No, I'm not going to speak against the chief's reappointment because I too think of him as a leader. But, you know, usually I kind of let things just roll off my back, you know. I I'm a mature woman, and some things I pick my battles, and some things I don't pick my battles, and I might appear to be petty sometimes or too deep sometimes, but, you know, it's been brought to my attention several times that, you know, the chief, when I speak, whether it's the tone of my voice or what I have to say, has visibly annoyed him and has been somewhat disrespectful to me as a citizen. And so I'm not speaking against his appointment or nor his leadership. I respect that. But it makes it extremely hard for me to sit on a special task force meeting, you know, trying to figure out ways to come up with creative funding to contribute to the fire department, because I have a lot of respect for the fire department and the leadership of the fire departments and the risks you take on behalf of us. But I think that respect is something that every public official must have ingrained in them, and whether you agree or disagree on what somebody is saying at the mic, you have to be respectful and not so transparent that the public will come up to you and say, I'm really sorry that our fire chief gave you those looks or treated you that way in a disrespectful way. So I'm not speaking against it, I'm just making a public note of it.
Thank you. Further comment?
Hi, my name is Craig Angelo. I've actually worked with Mike here at the fire station since I was 16 as an explorer till present, since he was a captain here. He's worked his way through the ranks. He's earned the respect of every person on the department. Now, I'm not going to say that we always agree with everything that management makes, such as the chief and everything, but his best interests are always, or his mind's always on our best interests. He cares about the community, and, you know, if he doesn't like something, he's not going to jump the throat, but that doesn't mean he has to smile and enjoy. He's not going to take the one-knee approach and kiss your butt. If it's not right, I'm sorry. He's a great guy, and I hope he's around for much longer. And I'm sorry that certain people have personal vendettas against some that own businesses in the area because they didn't hear what they liked. Thank you.
Any further comment on that? I didn't hear any vendettas, but there was possibly a misunderstanding or something that I hope that our staff will always treat the public with respect in all dealings. There was I think the previous board had some difficulty with that. I want to commit that our staff and our board will do our utmost at all times to treat the public and everyone else with due respect. Thank you. Bringing it back to the board, hearing no further comment.
I move that we continue, that we give him another contract.
Second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the general manager's recommendation. Further comment?
If I could third it, I would third it, but I think he's done a good job for us. So.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Vice President Mann.
Yes.
Director Angelo.
Yes.
Director Brookout.
Yes.
Director Dahl.
Yes.
President Hill.
Yes. Next item would be Ordinance 10, this is item 10B on the agenda, Ordinance 2004-1, an ordinance of the Board of Directors of OCSD establishing a fire department capital facilities charge. Mitch, would you take
take over, please.
Okay. If I could just kind of walk you through the ordinance to go through a few modifications before we request some the public comment, which is what we're here for. And this we will include based upon no objections from any of the board members or anything that comes to us through public comment that what needs to be changed. This will be the final ordinance. Any place where it says, and for an example, on page 1, under item section 1C, the last sentence says, requiring the new fire equipment and the construction of new, and we will add, or enlarged district fire facilities, instead of just new, and or enlarged. And any place that had mentioned that through the ordinance, that will be added. So it's not building new, but we could remodel or enlarge or anything like that. Typographical error on section E of section 1, paragraph E of section 1, first sentence that should be there instead of here. Section 5, under section B, it says the district manager are hereby authorized to make expenditures and incur obligations for the specific purpose. It'll be changed to the district manager hereby authorized to make expenditures and incur obligations pursuant to board approval. And that's obvious, but I think we need to put it in there. Again, in section 6, the new fire facilities will be also changed to say new or enlarged fire facilities, and then there's a little bit further down, there's a random word in there, review, so that will be taken out. And then I have included, pursuant to the previous meeting, there was a request that there be a sunset clause in there. I have included some language at your place at the dais, which deals with the termination or the sunset of this, and I could either read it or just
follows the counties. Right?
Pardon?
It just follows what the county's doing, right?
Right. In other words, if the county stops,
we stop.
Actually, if the county stops, what will happen is that the board would need to review it and only could continue with a positive action. In other words, voting yes to continue on. It doesn't stop it. It doesn't say you're finished. But it requires an automatic review of the process. And if the board wants to continue on, they can, by affirmative vote, continue on. If they don't, say it went down, to a 3-2 vote not to continue, then it would cease. There would be a review process if the county were to stop collecting facility fees.
Chances of that are very, very slim.
If I might, this was Director Dahl's suggestion. Could I ask, does that meet your... Is that to your concern?
My concern is with any...
Speak up.
My concern is with any tax or any fee imposed by government that those do not come down as a fee or a tax in perpetuity, but that there is always some kind of check or process in the loop that requires these fees to be reevaluated at a future date and should be reevaluated, in my opinion, intermittently throughout the future. That way, people that are subject to those taxes and fees have their representatives make sure that it is the right thing to continue to do. And so this is, as long as there is something in here that requires a board to affirmatively continue it, I think that is adequate for any sunset clause, especially within a tax that is, or a fee that is already being collected in another area, that we would have no control over whether they're going to continue or not. It's just that at that point that they do not, then it is important that we review it. Or whichever board, whoever that board happens to be and whoever happens to be sitting here at that time, has that opportunity to review it.
Okay.
Is
So the process then, I guess, would be to approve the go to public comment and then approve the amended ordinance as you discussed.
Well, basically, I don't think we've changed anything. All we've done is we've put in some explanatory language. And so unless there's an objection, I think we can just, listen to public comment, and then unless there's any additional changes or anything like that, we can just bring the clean ordinance back at the meeting of the 9th.
I have one other question, if I could. You want to change it from new to new or enlarged?
Right.
Okay, but what if you're just going to remodel but not enlarge? Redo something, put in a wall, take out a wall, put in some kind of structure within a building, but there's no enlargement going on.
Would be any objection to new enlarged or
modified, perhaps?
Yeah, modified.
I think the idea is that it's tied to the facility.
Just new or enlarged. I mean, let's not just say modify. They changed the wall. Come on, guys. Let's just. Excuse me. Thought I had the floor here.
You do.
Don't you just think new or enlarged?
I just brought the question up. I'm not attached to the answer one way or the other.
I wouldn't think remodeling.
Excuse me. Can we have one meeting here, please? If you want to have a side conversation, please take it outside.
I don't know what may come up in the future as far as if there's any need, like you're talking about putting in, like if you were to have to put in something like maybe a mechanics bay or an underground bay or so, that you'd have a major expense there. But I'm not attached one way or the other to it.
I really think you can probably construe, and we've got a legal counsel here that's good at words. But I think you can just construe new district fire facilities as being a new wall, a renovation of something. I mean, it is new. Would that be covered under this, or would we have to be more specific?
Well, you said new district fire facilities. That would be what the fee is being used for. Or are you talking about the construction that would trigger the imposition of the fee?
No, I'm talking about the construction, the use of the funds.
The use of the funds, that's perfectly adequate, certainly. Yeah.
Okay. So it covers it. Okay. Thank you.
Before we go to public comment, it might be good to let the public know that these are fees right now that are being collected by the county, and they are being distributed throughout the county non-cities such as Templeton, Cayucas, and so forth, and we're not getting any of those fees because we are our own fire department. And if we pass this ordinance, what will happen is the money will come from Oceano to our district rather than to the county and go outside of our district. So it's more of a tax shift than it is a new tax.
Right. And by way of further passing information is that the district is currently pursuing receipt of back fees that's been collected by the county,
right,
to try to bring some of that back to the district.
I'm a little slow tonight. It's getting late. So you're saying that right now, if they want to, someone wants to enlarge their house, they are charged a fee from the county?
No, that's the county only charges a fee for new construction.
Could I kind of clarify that? That has been our understanding all along, but we have come across a couple people in Oceano who have enlarged their facility and have been charged a fee, so we want to check this out, because what part of the transfer of the funds that have been collected in Oceano is going to be an audit of all the fees they have collected. And we want to, they have told us they're only collecting on new construction, total new construction. But we have, as I said, run across a couple of people who have added a bedroom or something like that and have been charged this fee. So we don't know. I mean, that's the bottom line at this point. We don't know if they charge for enlarging facilities.
So if we did new construction, if we just did it with new construction now, and then we find out that currently the county is charging for additions, we could come back and modify this, couldn't we?
We could revise or make a new ordinance.
So we would not be charging something that the county isn't charging. Am I making myself clear?
In other words, right. If I understand correctly, you want to see that we're only charging effectively equivalently to what the county's currently charging and not expanding the charge to some other category. Is that a fair statement? We make your comment about that.
I don't, you know, what do the rest of you think? That was just my thought.
If you're advocating that the ordinance apply to new construction only and not additions to existing structures, I tend to support that.
Unless we find out, you know, when you check with the county, when staff checks with the county, if the county is charging for enlarging or additional area on a facility, then I would want us to come back and make our ordinance like that. But I don't want to be taking more than what they're already having to pay. But that's just my opinion.
Comment from other board members?
I've been told that they do charge for additions, but I'm in the same boat as Mitch is. I don't know that for sure. But either way, it's fine with me. I could support either one.
Does the ordinance charge for just new additional square footage?
Just additional square footage. Doesn't charge for, like, if you have a 1,500 square foot house and you add 200 square feet to it, you're only paying the 60 cents per square foot on the 200 feet. I think the one advantage we have, if you want to continue this on, the county currently is collecting the fee as we're going along, and they are going to transfer that money to us. So we're not in any kind of jeopardy. One of the things we first brought this to you is we thought that, you know, we were going to supplant the county's ordinance and therefore collect the fees for ourselves. But subsequent to that discussion, they have indicated that they will turn the money over to us. And they will stop collecting fees the day our ordinance goes into effect, and we will start collecting fees. So if you want to hold this in abeyance until such time as that one particular question is answered, we can do that. Because we're not jeopardizing ourselves at all under this, because the county will continue until we step to the plate, collect the fees.
And they're going to give us back what they've collected.
Right.
So we're not losing any money.
Right. So, I mean, there is that option also, if you want to, you know, because I've heard it both ways. I've heard it that they don't, and I heard that they do. And I mean, and I've heard it from people who have paid the fee that they do, and the county says that they don't. And so I think we need to find out. You know, and I don't think that they're trying to hold something back. I mean, it's a very, very complex process to go through the building and planning department. And you know, the person, when you're talking to someone who is a department administrator, doesn't necessarily have all the nuts and bolts to go on down at the working level. So, you know, that could have just been a misunderstanding on the part of the person who said that. So. I don't know the answer.
Is this a side issue? Could I ask that you definitively find an answer to the question so that we can at least have an idea one way or the other?
Sure.
But any further comment from the board?
I think that it would be good that we match as best we can what the county's doing here, so we're not looking at more or less. But we also should evaluate to make sure the county's doing it fairly as well. And then bring it back at a later date.
Further board board comment?
Well, you know, with the, I don't have a problem voting on it today, as the way it is, because we can amend it apparently later if we choose to. It's really, the money's there, so it can go either way.
We could vote on it today, and then if there is a difference or if there's a change during the period of time that this one goes into effect, and the changes go into effect, there would be the discrepancy or the difference in what was being collected for those people.
So there actually is no vote today. The only thing we're doing is taking public comment and modifying it based upon general consensus of the board.
But and if, so then it would
vote
be
comes, technically it comes, public notice was it'll be next week, or next meeting, the 9th is when you'll actually vote on it.
So if we wanted to continue this to get a little more work on it, would it come back? Would we have to do that at the next meeting, or would that be?
You could do it any time you wanted to. If you wanted to table this until such time as this one issue is determined, then you can do that, or you can.
I think what I'd like to see is to continue with public comment and get a sense of what we want to do with the ordinance in light of the requirement that we post the ordinance for a specific period of time. In its final form, if I might check with council to make sure that that's correct, so that we can post it in its final form for the required time before we vote on it. Because at the time that we vote on the thing, if some change is desired at that point, then we got to repost it. And so what I'd like to do is entertain as much commentary as we can at this point and come to an agreement of what the ordinance should state in its final form, such that we can comply with the posting requirements and then make a decision at that time. So having said that, is there public comment on this issue?
Nina Graviel, Oceano. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys what's going down with this. All I had to do is make 2 phone calls in one day. And I'm going to straighten out a lot of misconceptions of what's going on, what I've heard here. I called the county, and I spoke to the person who's in charge of collecting all the funds from the planning department. And quite frankly, I think your general manager should have done this and reported to you what I'm going to tell you. This is another example of incompetence. But anyway.
Do you have that person's name that you talked to?
I have it written at home, but I can give it to you. Anyway, she's the one who is, takes in the fees. The fees go through her. The way it's stated now, it's $800 per new dwelling, new construction. That's it. There's no fees for remodels or additions. I know, because I just went through the process. I didn't have to pay that fee. I did pay school fees and other fees, but I didn't have to pay that fee because, according to them, the fee was paid, since 91 is when they started collecting the fee. The fee is paid when the home is built. Okay? Now, I also talked to David Edge. He's the county administrative officer, about what's happened with the fees that have been collected to date. They are in the process of assessing what that amount is. When they have that amount figured out, then they will take it to the board of supervisors. Now, there's an inclination at the county to just write a check to OCSD, but there are some legal stigmas that they have to work through, and that being that since what happened was when the county was first originally considering passing the ordinance of collecting the $800 fee, and it goes up, but the capital improvement fee for the fire department, they sent out a notice to that effect to the CSDs. OCSD never responded at that time. Okay, so because OCSD did not respond, they are out of the pool, which is why that money never came back to OCSD. Okay, but somewhere down the line, that information was not given to the planning department. So when they got the ordinance, they started collecting fees countywide, not knowing that they should exclude new construction in Oceano from that ordinance. Okay, so they have the money there. The dilemma for the county is, does that money go to OCSD, or does that money, because it was collected without agreement by OCSD, does that money actually have to legally go back to the people who paid it? Okay, so they're in the process of determining that. Their attorneys are looking into that to see where does that money really go. To make things real simple and easy, I think they would prefer to, that was my impression, was they would prefer to have that money just go to OCSD. Okay, and they're more than willing to do that if they can do that legally. They're not going to try to keep the money. Now, as far as collecting, as far as assessing this fee, I find it to be outrageous. You know, if you're going to, people paid $800 when they built the home. So now, you're going to ask them to pay another capital improvement fee if they want to remodel. And I find it very offensive that someone would even suggest that they should pay a fee to just move a wall inside of an interior building. That's not how you do it. According to Mr. Edge, you have to, first of all, how did you come up with the 60 cents a square foot fee?
This was a recommendation of the fire task force.
And how did they come up with that number?
They looked at other cities, municipalities, and so forth. If you look at Pismo and Royal Grande and those areas, I think you'll find that they charge a higher fee than that.
Okay, so they ran a comp, basically. You know, like in real estate terms, it's a comparable. Okay, because you cannot charge a fee unless you have documentation that shows that fee is actually has a reason for being collected, is actually being utilized for a certain purpose. There are certain formulas and equations you have to use. You can't just come up with a number out of your head, okay? Because if someone wants to contest it and you don't have any backup for that, you will lose. I think it's a state law, okay? So you can't just come up with numbers out of your head. You have to show that this is the actual cost of providing the service, and it has to be broken down, okay? So that's something that you guys need to be aware of. And I think that, you know, granted, the fire department needs money, but my question is, how much money? You know, if you're going to be assessing fees for every freaking thing somebody does and just say, oh, because the fire department needs it, I mean, you know, let's be reasonable about this. If the county feels that just assessing fees on new construction is going to be enough, then why do we have to go into all these other areas of, like, you know, remodels, additions, and just interior work? You can't, according to the law, according to Mr. Edge, you cannot assess fees if you're not expanding the area that is being serviced.
If I might keep the discussion on topic, the ordinance does not affect, it only involves increasing the square footage. I'll state again that it's a proposal. It only affects where the square footage of the structure is increased. It has nothing to do with remodels. It has nothing to do with moving walls.
Right. Well, Mr. Cooney suggested that, and so I'm just responding to that.
I
he was talking about moving interior walls.
I think that,
and I don't think not
that
to
related to the work that we might do inside the fire station, not something that a resident might be charged for their structure. That was regarding use of the funds, not obtaining the funds.
Okay, well, I'm glad that's clear, because that's not what it sounded like. But like I said, if you can't just charge a fee, you have to show that area is causing more cost. And so, you know, I guess the way the county figures it is that the house being there is already incurring a certain amount of expense by the fire department. So no matter how big the house is, that's why it's just a flat fee.
Could I just one discussion, please?
That's why it's just a flat fee, because it's you're servicing, when you get called out to a house, you're going to take care of the whole house. So if they don't charge by square footage, do you understand where I'm coming from? Does that make sense? And so once the structure is there, the call is the same.
Let me see if I can summarize your comment. It appears that you disagree with the idea of assessing this fee for additions to existing structures. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah.
Thank you.
got the, excuse me, I hurt my back earlier. Max Padilla, from a business owner in Oceano. And my suggestion is that I sort of agree with you, Jim, it's to table this issue, since the board does not know exactly what the county ordinance is. I don't see why you're going to pass an ordinance if you don't know what the county already charges and what they charge it, and you're going to start a new ordinance. I think you should do the research, give us the information, and tell us exactly what that money is going to go for. And first of all, get back the monies that they owe Oceano. That's what you should do first. Then come before us and tell us the ordinance that you folks want to pass, and tell us exactly what it's for and what it applies to. Obviously, you guys have been discussing this, and you, nobody on the board knows exactly how and what the county's charging us for. So I think you should do some research and put out some literature on it so we know what that ordinance is. So I make a suggestion that you table this issue until you do further investigation and bring it back to us. Thank you.
Thank you. Further public comment? Hearing none. Bring it back to the board. We have a sense of how we want to proceed with it.
I have no problem tabling this till we get the information, all of it. It's like Barbara said, it's the, anything the county collects is money in the bank to us. So I don't see any urgency to do anything.
Sounds like
I'd like to let it table.
Okay, let's table the item. Item 11A, cleaning and inspection of district sewer lines. This is, we're pretty well familiar with this one. It's the continued disclosure of the emergency that the board declared for cleaning and inspection of district sewer lines. This is related to... Phil, did you have any comment on the status?
We're still working on it. We have some problems about that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I just... I'm sorry, Phil, you got something. At our next meeting, we'll bring back to the board all of those areas that FEMA has indicated they will pay 100%, and we will bring back those areas for consideration to award bids on all those. And then any area that FEMA said they will award a portion of, we will bring back an alternate type bidding process where we'll ask for the whole thing to be bid and ask for the section to be bid. And what I'm saying about that is, it's like, say we have 100 feet of pipe, and they promise they will guarantee they will pay for 75 feet of it. If 75 feet of it costs, say, $75, and to do the whole pipe costs $75, somebody will bid that. Well, then we will go ahead and do the whole pipe because they guarantee an amount. They'll guarantee for to replace that 75 feet of pipe, $75. So if we can get the whole thing done based on our bid, we'll start awarding bids like that. So they will pay for the whole thing, even though they think, or well, they are indicating they're really paying for 75% of it. But that's how we will address that. Then we got some that we're still negotiating on. So we're actually making some real progress on this.
Okay.
Mr. Finney?
Yes.
My understanding was that FEMA paid 75% of the damage, OES pays 75% of the 25% left.
Right, and they basically pay the other 25%. There's a way that it kind of works out that 75 of the 25 really turns out to be 25%.
Okay, because there were some way it worked out with a few items at the sanitation plant where actually the sanitation plant ended up with more money than it cost to do the repair.
Well, see, this is exactly what I'm telling you as far as some of these things where they say they'll only do part of it,
okay.
And then, you know, they guarantee you an amount. Yeah. And so that's...
Well, I guess it was part of the administration.
Yeah, so that's what happens.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Do we have a motion by Director Angelo, but no second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Public comment. Further hearing none. Any further board discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
Director Brokaw?
Yes.
Director Dahl?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Item 11B, the Juanita and McCarthy water and sewer line replacement.
Okay, this contract was awarded contingent upon the FEMA approval and authorization. We have finally received FEMA approval and authorization. We have been in constant contact with Specialty Construction, who is the low bidder at $218,000, $218,486.60. They are willing to proceed at this time. So the recommended action before your board is by board discussion, public comment, motion, second, and roll call vote, award the contract to Specialty Construction for the replacement of the water main and sewer line on McCarthy and Juanita Avenues.
Okay.
Not airport, don't you?
Do we have any comment from the board?
From all indications, talking to people in the business, underground business, they seem to think that this is a really good deal and that we should sign them up as fast as we can. So with that...
Before they have a chance to change their mind.
Yeah. Before they get busy someplace else.
Right. A comment from the public.
Gordon Shore, 350 McCarthy. Very quick. We had several ruptures of lines there. I assume you're getting blamed for disastrously to redo these things. I urge you to go ahead and get it done. That would be very helpful to us.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Bring it back to the board.
I move that we accept this bid.
Second.
Okay, let me state that we move to award the contract to Specialty Construction for a sum not to exceed $218,486.60 for replacement of the water main and sewer line on McCarthy Avenue and replacement of the water main and sewer line on Juanita Avenue. Is that?
That's correct.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion from the board? Roll call, please. Oh, excuse me, Vern.
I just wanted to note that this was one of the things that many times there's things in progress and that things are happening and that they don't happen overnight. You know, government doesn't move as fast as business does, and there's a lot of things that are in the works that are going on, are happening. This was one of these things that we've been working on.
Water bills and the justification for the fix and the repairs that were done is attached to the staff report. So the recommended action before your board is to adjust the bill that was sent to account number 1003861 in the amount shown on the staff report.
Okay.
They were billed $348.14. The average is $67.94. That means the bill will be adjusted to $67.94.
All right. Discussion from the board?
This is the policy that the board has followed all along. I don't know what happened in this particular case, but usually it's a break in the water line in the yard, and they don't know about it. There's no wet spot, and then we just average their bills for 18 months, and that's what we charge them.
And in this case, I think it was under a patio slab, something like that, and the individuals happens to be a disabled person, and they responded as timely as possible from the material here in the report, as timely as possible to try to shut off the water. In fact, they did shut off the water even to try to ameliorate the situation. So I believe they acted in as good a faith as possible.
Need a motion?
One question first. Did this break and repair happen over two different billing cycles?
My understanding it did. Yes, there is. It happened over a second billing cycle.
So this gentleman would be possibly due some additional refund on the second billing cycle as well. I don't know if we might have a way of getting a more accurate determination of his loss if we went out and read a meter now or
or just wait until the next billing cycle where we see this again?
The billing cycle, yeah. We're about to read meters. As a matter of fact, next week we'll be reading meters.
Okay.
Obviously if the situation is not, is the same, we bring it back to the board for consideration.
Okay. Thank you.
Further discussion?
I'll move that we adjust the bill accordingly.
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any public comment? Hearing none. No further board discussion. Roll call, please.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Mann?
Yes.
Director Bocow?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes. Moving to item 12, public comment.
Max Padilla, owner at Oceano. I'm going to go back to the motion that was put on the table by Mr. President Jim Hill and the elimination of the health and welfare. After all, the public comment that opposed it, that was in favor of eliminating it, and only one board member who said that when it started, she opposed it, and you asked for comments from the board, nobody said anything. But when it came for a second, you couldn't get a second from your board. And you had more public comment that was supporting you to eliminate the health and welfare. That's hard to understand. Secondly, I feel that money should be spent on better things. Perhaps pay for the television camera so that everybody in Oceano knows what's going on these board meetings.
Thank you.
My name is Nancy McNeil. I'm a resident of Oceano and property owner in Oceano as well. I'll echo what Max had to say. I am so disappointed, Jim. This was a campaign promise of yours. And just from sitting and observing, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but it certainly appeared that this was an arranged situation that was decided prior to this meeting. And it appeared that it was an attempt to make Jim look like he kept his campaign promise, and everybody spoke against it. Everybody said they didn't want the insurance. Nobody seconded in the motion, and I want to know why. Who's getting insurance? Who on the board is getting insurance? Why did this motion die? Why wasn't it seconded? That's a question. David, Barbara, Jim, Byrne, Bill, Mitch.
This is public comment, and basically you can address your comments to the board, but it cannot become public dialogue. So they cannot respond.
Oh, well, they responded plenty to a lot of other public.
Mary Lucy, I'm sorry that the last comments came across so strongly and accusative, and I understand how things work, and it's just one of those things, and I know you're trying your best to fulfill all your campaign promises. I truly feel that. I wanted to bring to your attention in the newspaper today was a very large ad announcing, a public announcement announcing the workshop for the CDGB block grant, which stands for Community Development Block Grant, which comes out of HUD. We have a portion of that block grant that is prepared in this area based on our need. Now, I know that there's a cap on that grant. I know a lot about that grant. I also know a lot about the consolidated plan. It's a 5-year plan. I'm not quite sure. I don't ever see anything about the block grant. And there is a public meeting down here. And so I first of all wanted to bring that to your attention, that the county is holding it. I don't know. Mr. Cooney is preparing it. I have not been able to ascertain past applications for the grant to see if it's truly reflective of the needs of the community. So maybe somebody could put a notice out to the public, because it is a very important grant. and we've gotten it for a long time. Then there was one other thing, too, that, it slipped my mind, so it must have been a lie. So I'm sorry, I forgot it, but I just want the block grant to be, people know about the block grant.
Thank you. Further public comment?
Mark Walter of Oceano. Thank you, fellow citizens, for chiming in from my previously out-of-order comment prior, and I do apologize in some sense of being out of order, but I'm very thankful that the citizens of Oceano voted for change by electing Jim Hill, based on a platform of going door-to-door and addressing the issues, getting feedback, and backing it up, not just with talk, but with words. That camera that I'm operating is out of Jim's own personal pocketbook, the tapes. And here's a man that's put his money where his mouth is, and I'm very thankful for that. I want to direct a comment towards, or just a comment. Director Dahl, you had mentioned, if I'm correct, as part prior, the reason that... was for an incentive, if I get this correct, the reason to enact the benefits, health benefits, was to give incentives for quality people to run on the board and to be board members. Am I correct in saying that?
What I stated was that that was the thinking of the board when it was originally enacted.
Okay. Oh, okay, I understand that. That, okay, we want quality people on the board, and therefore give them incentives. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And from the work I've seen, personally seen here in the new board, you guys have earned quite a bit. You know, the workman's worthy of his hire. However, I'll have to chime in with the comments stated before, that the will of the people has been grossly violated right here. All right. And that's wrong, okay? Whether it was orchestrated or not, I can't say. I don't know about everybody's heart. Only God knows hearts. But I think it's a travesty of justice. And President Hill, I hope you bring that back up again. Please bring it back up again. And we'll push it through. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I'll make this very quickly. I noticed that in the financial statements that we had... advertised for a maintenance supervisor to work with you, Phil, and that we had spent an astronomical amount of money on publicizing the job, over $2,000, and actually I lost my page, but the one advertisement was $1,600 in some publications. May I suggest, since we're not getting the right candidates by advertising through the newspaper, that there are headhunters, there are companies that are put forth just for such public service management, and that we could have gotten, maybe in the future, if we're not getting the right candidates, that we contact one of the companies that's their job to find executives and service, employees to fit that criterion. It might be a better use.
The minutes, President Hill referred to the fact that the minutes are kept on tape. Well, you know what? I think those tapes are destroyed after a certain period of time. So the only real record you have is this written record, unless, we have a video of it. So thank God AGP is here. I don't know how much longer you guys are going to tolerate them being here. That's one of my concerns. But I would really, if you really want to serve the people, then at least make sure that you have correct minutes. Really scour those, and they should reflect what is being said by the public and not edited, not putting things in, not taking things out. To me, that's not the purpose of taking minutes. So I'm really disappointed. I just want to tell this board I'm really disappointed in your self-serving vote, because that's what it really looks like. It looks like it was a self-serving vote. And I know that, this community is mostly made up of Mexican people here, And so the Mexican people are paying for your, you know, ability to have health care that they can't afford, that they can't get competent staff here to work in the office. I'm talking about administrative staff. And I know, Barbara, you roll your eyes every time I say that, but you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You have told me that you have never heard of a single complaint about Mr. Cooney, and I find that to be astounding. Either you are closing your eyes and your ears to it, or I should say...
Please direct your comment to the president.
Okay, well then, your vice president is either closing her ears and eyes to it, or she's totally out of touch with the community. Because I myself, just working in my own front yard, have had people come up to me and tell me their stories. And I'm not on the board, I'm not anything. You know, I'm just a person. And before this whole incident started between me and OCSD in June, I was hearing stuff. And that's why I wised up. Thank God that the angels came and told me what they told me about their stories, because that's how I knew to stand up for my rights. Otherwise, I probably would have been duped just like the rest of them. So, but going back to my previous train of thought here, the Mexican people pay for your ability for you to have health care when most of them probably can't get it themselves. There's no adequate, competent administrative staff, as far as I'm concerned, working at OCSD. There's no bilingual people working in the front office to help people. The water rates are not published. It's not broken down, itemized. So really, people don't know what they're getting charged at. There's no fee schedule. And I brought this to attention of the utility supervisor's operation manager here, Mr. Phil Davis, back in June when he first came to me. You know, by not having that, what it is you're, you know, and not letting people know about their fees until the end, you're actually, you know, this organization is entrapping people into higher fees without their knowledge. And I think that's illegal. You know, manipulation of the law and so forth. And so really, I have to say, this is just probably one of the most disgusting little organizations I've ever seen. And I'm really, you know, I almost lost my life at one point, and I almost lost the ability to walk. And, you know, I've taken that and turned that into a good thing. Because I turned that around. It took me 2 years to heal, and I turned that into a good thing. And now I'm turning around helping other people. But I have to tell you that this little organization is so disturbing to me that I cannot continue to come here to these meetings. Because I have to go back home and heal other people. And I have to maintain my own balance, my own center, and my own perspective of what's right and what's wrong, and do what I can do. It's obvious that you guys aren't going to listen to the will of the people. So I can't fight that. But I can go help other people one-on-one. And that's what I'm going to do. And I hope I never see any of you ever again.
My name is Janet Padilla, Oceano Market. And that question is for you, Jim Hill. You came to the store and asked for help. We gave you the help. Now I can see that you are not doing what you promised. You promised something that I remember. One, it was to help the community, help to get bilingual. You haven't done it. And about the insurance. And we're going to keep waiting.
Thank you. Further comment? Okay, hearing none. Moving on to item 13, board member items for discussion. Barbara?
So, you know, don't blame Jim for that. And he's only been in office 2 weeks. It's not a very long time to keep his campaign promises, whatever they are. I don't really, you know, I don't know what his campaign promises are, but you can't say somebody has failed in just 2 weeks. I hope I've answered your questions about my reason for the way I vote. On Saturday, when we went to this seminar for directors, one of the things they talked about was that the actions from one board carry to the next. So that's where I got my direction.
even as far, also as far as the community center was. So that's why I voted the way I voted. You can not like the way I voted. I can't help it. I can only account to my own conscience.
Thank you, Barbara. I want to thank you also for your previous vote. I know you were the only board member at the time that voted against that issue, and I respect your integrity to stick by your decision. So I will join with your decision there. You also had another item about limiting...
I know that not only do the board have jobs, but the public also has jobs, and I would like us to put on the agenda for next time that we say that our meetings don't go past 10 o'clock in the evening. I think if we can't get things done in 3.5 hours, we need to either continue it or have it on another agenda item. Some of our fellow districts or even some of the other community, they go to 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I really don't think you I personally don't think you can accomplish that much. And I had one other thing, too. Just Mary Lucy mentioned the CDBG grants. That's where we can go as community members to say that we want XYZ, not only as a CSD, but as individuals, and that's how they find out or decide what are the needs. And you did talk about the 5-year, that it's out 5 years. We've gotten an awful lot of money here in Oceano. Our chance of getting any more money for new projects right now is probably pretty slim, but we do need to get online. You know, go say that this is what we're needing, and then next year we go back and say this is what we're still needing, and maybe about the 4th year then it becomes our turn to get the money. You know, it's probably North County's turn right now. I think they have a water tank or something that they're up for. That's just the way the Board of Supervisors works with that money. But we do have a really good relationship with Tony Navarro, who does put in for the CDBG grant funds. He likes the people in Oceano. He's been very helpful in the past. They also helped get the... it was a coalition that got the sidewalks and curbs put around the school. And, you know, sometimes those things come together, but we have to let them know that we're needing these things. And that's how we work that.
In light of that, I also noticed the mention in the paper this afternoon that there was a quite an extensive ad that I think Mary brought up. Could I ask the staff to please post that ad in the window? Because one of the meetings is going to be here.
February 2nd at 7 o'clock.
February 2nd at 7 o'clock. So that's an opportunity for community members to come in and address that issue.
Can I ask that copies of the draft be available? The draft of our portion of the grant. Because you're going to walk into the meeting blindly not knowing what we've proposed or...
If we would propose something, I don't know that we have come up with something. Which project in town do we want to apply for at this point?
Yeah. Well, we have to talk about the meeting then.
Yeah.
Okay. Other board member comments?
In going over the goals list that was. That we got Monday. I was finding it a little bit difficult to, you know, number them in numerical order or so, and thought might be just as well if we also come there with a set of which ones we feel we should go forward with, which ones we should not, and which ones is good to do at a future date as well to the next meeting. I think it'd be a little easier for us to work from that list coming Monday than as well as what
we comment and suggest priorities for these goals also at the goal setting meeting. Any other board comment? No. Consideration of the warrants.
I'll make a motion that we pay the warrants.
I'll second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any discussion from the board? I don't think I have any. The one item, just quickly, there's a large payment to the county. What was that for?
It's water.
That's water. Okay.
Water.
Other than that, any other board comment?
What were the cancellation fees? There was five of those.
We had a seminar that was planned that we were all going to. I got ill, if you remember. I was in the hospital.
Oh, that's right.
And they canceled. Gina, again, I think she should be commended. They wanted us to pay the full boat for the thing, and she got it down to the $25 cancellation fee.
Very good. Very good.
Thank you. Any comment from the public on the warrants? Hearing none. Roll call, please.
Just a voice vote.
Voice vote. All in favor of approving?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Unanimously carried. Okay, with that, any written communication, Ms.?
We received one notification from the state controller's office that at this time they are not going to change the formula for the ERAF chip. You know, we did send that letter. They are not changing it, nor do they plan to change it for next year. Only modifications they will make is if there's an error, if you find an error in your formula calculations. We didn't find any error. So that they've notified us that it will right now stay status. So
we need to continue to maintain a low profile.
Right. Yeah. Keep ducking and covering.
Good man.
Good. Thank you. Motion to adjourn?
I move we adjourn.
Before I adjourn.